the base challenges. As the entire ABA, no man who will face Dr. R.L. Crawford in public debate. What is it? Reproduction. You see, this is an offset. And what they do, they take, well, this is offset. But, for instance, this is the differences of the churches of the separation. You would have a little difficulty reading it because of the soul. It's that old. John Smith, the principal context of the Greek, concerning the liturgy, the ministry. But again, there are some people that have a very strange idea about doctrine. If it's old, it's biblical. Well, that's not necessarily true. If you take history and say, boy, they used to believe this. I can think most anybody, they used to believe that. Now, that's the predestinarian Baptists believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. We do not, no member of the church body has any authority to substitute the commandments of God for the traditions of men. Well, yes, the minor terms. All right, now, in this chapter, he deals with three words. You see, these people believe that the first decree in a logical order would be to elect some to salvation and reprobate others. Now, this is where they get the term particular Baptist. They believe that God is particular. You see, you can understand then where you get this elevated opinion of this. God is so particular in his choice. I'm his choice, you see. These people all believe that they are of the elect. And so God particularized on me. Well, doesn't that give you just a little bit of an elevated opinion of oneself? All right, now, we've talked about the sublapsary. And that, the first decree, is to create. Logically, there had to be a decision to create. Now, would he logically do this before this? Not in my opinion. There is no logic to that. But you see, this is hyper-Calvinist. This is where the emphasis always is on the elect. Now, they don't like to talk about the Reformation nearly as much as they do about the election. In fact, this paper about month and a half ago or so, had one of Gill's articles. And it went on, and then finally it stopped. And it said, now we have left out the part on reprobation because we do not wish to, In other words, their experts had put it so strongly that they just didn't want to print that because it would expose exactly what their doctrine has done. And so they were very honest in saying, now, we have deleted this portion on reprobation because we do not feel it is.
Talking about John again?
Yes.
When we speak about
it. But then they're very honest. Anybody that's.
When we think about particular Baptist, is that a reference to the election?
Yeah. In other words, you had the particular and the general. That was the two terminologies. The idea being that Christ died for particular people, Christ died for all. It has to do with the atonement. His atonement was limited only to the elect. Notice, there is no sense in which Christ died for the unsaved. That would be a useless shedding of his blood. Wait. They believe that there is a general call, but that is not an honorable thing. Now, look at what he says here. Election and foreknowledge. Election is a sovereign act of God. There is no compunction on God's part to save anyone. You have to understand, it's all of grace. You don't tell God you have to save me. It's a matter of grace. His sovereign. He's under no obligation to anyone. See, we're obligated to certain people. But God is under obligation to no one. Man does not deserve heaven. In fact, you know, there are people that tell you how that. Boy, that's hell. I just can't believe that. That's never been my problem. Heaven's been my problem. See, I can understand why I was in hell and why I was in heaven. There's my problem. It's how God could graciously give me the gift of eternal life. Now, but the scriptures base this on the matter of foreknowledge. Now notice what he says right at the bottom of page 344. May we repeat. Since mankind is hopelessly dead in trespasses and sins, and can do nothing to obtain salvation. You see, this is where the particular man, he's dead. How can a dead man do it? Absolutely impossible for a dead man, dead in trespass, to respond. All right. Now, they believe in the goodness. Has appeared to all men. They believe that there is a sense in which grace has been generally extended. We believe, or I believe, that God has graciously restored to all men sufficient ability, that's what he's saying, to make a choice in the matter. You see, even your ability to make a choice is an act of God's grace. Now, is it? The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all. I believe that there is a general call that goes to every man. If I be lifted up, will draw all men. I don't believe that there's a person in this world that has ever lived or ever will, that will ever be able to stand and accuse God of not giving them opportunity. He said he will draw all men. The cross is that universal attraction. But it is the cross that makes this general call a possibility. Now, how do you respond to that? God has revealed himself. All right, now, the Bible, I think, teaches that God has given you and me and all men in his grace the ability to respond to this. You don't have it. In other words, that's even a gift of God. Your ability to respond. Now, as I respond to this call, then he effectively works in me You see, he then continues his work. But you see, if I reject his call and continue to reject his call, there is no such thing as irresistible grace. I have rejected this call. You see, I have rejected this invitation. But he that hath begun a good work in me will continue.
I've heard some people say that the atonement is effective on some, but it's not effective on all others, but Jesus Christ died for all men. My opinion on what I believe is that Jesus Christ died for all men, and that those that will not accept him are going to be responsible for that.
It is sufficient for all men. It has the efficiency to save all. It is efficient in that it. But its efficiency can be stopped. You see, that it's effective by your rejection of it. You see, that there is no such thing as an irresistible drawing. All men will be drawn. But he will not draw you against your will to submit to him. And in his Lord, I know that. But you see, that's where we get, that's where these guys get off. They want to play God. They want to take God's side. I know what God is and all this. I don't know. And I just openly confess, I believe.
How do we call them to deal with Acts 7:51?
They just that way that they do not believe that they had any opportunity.
Oh, they were
warned. And they were
reprimanded.
No. Okay. And for God so loved the world, they will even contend that is the world of the elect, not the cosmos, not the universe as we know. But again, we're faced with this right now. And these people are saying, we are the intellectuals. We have history. You know, and you fellows are the lightweight. I don't mind being a lightweight. I just want to be simple. You see, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I suppose I have about 10 degrees with R.L. Crawford. He was a college president without ever going to college. But, you know, they get impressed with themselves. But wouldn't you be impressed? You know, after all, you've been in school where somebody was a teacher's pet. The teacher's pet was impressed with himself. Oh, there's something good about me. The teacher likes me better than somebody. Okay. God likes me. That's the reason Presbyterian. If you have ever been around Presbyterian, they just turn me off. Because, you know, that's the reason we're rich. Have need of nothing. You know, where are the elect? That's the way the Jews tell. Who then can be saved? The rich young ruler can be. You know, after all, that's a sign of God's favor. When a guy is rich and he doesn't have financial worries and problems, God can reassure you, who sin can be saved. Well, I think that this view is the one that I have.
The last area, now let's get to the last area. God created man. He chose to elect some to hell, some to heaven.
Yes.
And then the sub-lapsarian, God created, then he elected those that would be saved.
He provided salvation sufficient for everyone. And the elect are those who would be. Well, it has to do with creation. Election is there for creation. Yes, creation is there first.
But the sub-lapsarian still is limited atonement in it. They're in the Calvinist.
Yeah. Then you have to modify sub-lapsarianism to come up with unlimited atonement. But you see, even Calvin is not peace limited atonement. He quotes here from Calvin's comments on 1 John 2. Christ suffered for the sins of the whole world. Now that's a direct quote on his commentary. Now remember, people go beyond what a teacher teaches. You don't believe that, I'll show you. Amy McPherson came to this to Los Angeles and started her temple. About the same time as R.A. Torrey came out here to head up Biola and do the Pastor Church of the Open Door. It was about that time that he published this book, What the Bible Teaches. Chapter, in most respects, it's a pretty good book. But chapter 7 has to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he gets out in left field. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experience connected with and primarily for the purpose of service. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has no direct reference to cleansing from sin. The results of the baptism, there are diversities of gifts, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit are not precisely the same in all persons. These gifts vary with different lines of service. Amy came into Los Angeles about the time he published this book. She took that. She built the Four Square denomination on chapter 7. That there is a second work, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You go to a Four Square church, you're saved, and then you speak in tongues as a manifestation that you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Usually, four square people only speak in tongues one time. They don't repeat the thing like your other Pentecostals. But it was this book. You see, now, Torrey didn't teach speaking in tongues. Don't really understand what I meant. But he took what the teacher taught and ran with it. He taught error. And when you teach a little error, people can run like a scared rabbit. So that's the reason that when you hear somebody quoting a teacher, many times they are misquoting that teacher. They are quoting what they heard that teacher say. But they heard it with their ears. They heard it, you know, with even if you read it, you'd have to. See, if Betty tried to repeat my joke, it would be terrible. Yeah. You hear me with different ears. All right, but you see, that's the reason. Calvin, a lot of things that are called Calvinism actually were not Calvin's teaching. They were taught by his student, Spurgeon. After Calvin died, he had this student that carried on his work, a man by the name of Visa. And Visa, people keep asking you questions. And then you keep refining and defining, and especially when you're in a matter of debate. Calvin, for instance, was very strong on the Trinity. And there was this man, Tertullian, that was a Unitarian in his concept. Calvin and Tertullian signed propositions for the debate. But the friends of Tertullian suggested that it wouldn't be good for him to go to Geneva and to face So he canceled the debate, didn't go, but he went to Geneva to hear Calvin preach. If you go to Geneva, you'll see a very large cathedral in which he grew Geneva from the cathedral. And while he was preparing for the morning service, they told him that Geneva was there. And he preached a scorching sermon. And then had him taken out and leave. They burned him at the stake. That's what you do. You begin to overstate. You begin to prove, and you're going to prove it, and you have to tell a proof. I'm just not that combative. I'm not going to get into the hassles that I think are just not conducive to work. Sometimes we spin our wheels. Now there are two issues that are very vital, but we need to keep them clearly in mind. One of them is this matter of the reason is it will kill our missionary activity as surely as if we allow this thing to go unanswered. You say, but those churches are supporting missions. I know that. I'm well aware. But they won't be. When Charles Haddon Spurgeon was preaching, he had 3,000 people morning and night in the service, each standing, and asked the brethren to stop the Spurgeon Tabernacle in there just tour the other day. I was there this summer. How come you didn't kill me? That was their evangelistic. No emphasis on the preaching of the gospel. It was a defense of hyper-Calvinism. And this was a guest preacher. He was from Ireland. The pastor was on vacation. And I know Brother McAllister. He said that he observed the same thing when he was there. He looked around and he said, this is the end result. The man that built it, he didn't carry it to that extreme, but his students went on and on and on until now they can't. That is the thing. The second thing that we have is this matter of the charismatic. This idea that experience has the same authenticity as the scripture. when they get up and tell me, you know, I've had the experience and so on and so forth, and you can't question that. These people. I said I'm reading this book by Jason Lomaxis on the healing of the body. Well, here was a man that I respected 10 years ago. He was totally bad. I thought, he was a brother of cross. I didn't do it for a reason. That's it. And he took 4 of Captain Cool's teeth. And boy, they were just the greatest things. It's just unbelief. And he had taken them right out of Captain Cool's book and put them in his book and said, you know, this proves that there are healings going on right now. Of course, he had a little trouble explaining how she died, you know, with Oral Roberts trying to heal it. But he kind of passed over that. Experience. Don't you let anyone tell you that their experience has any validity in the context of what it is. I mean, not spiritual validity. It may have happened. Don't misunderstand. There are things going on that I do not understand, but that does not mean it is the work of the Spirit of God. You have to understand that John did try the Spirit. Now, what did he say? Because there are many spirits out there, and they're deceiving people. Why would people year after year come to a rock and bow down and make obeisance to a rock? Because that rock has some power, some demon power. And a lot of us just don't recognize that rock. That there are demon spirits in this world that are fraudulently misleading people into believing this is the Spirit of God. The Word of God is my standard of conduct. Well, I'll let you go, and I hope you have a nice holiday. We'll come back, and we'll talk some more about these type of Calvinists, because you're going to be more and more confronted.
If we touch on this,
they're right here in your book. Just the supra and the sub are the ones that the infra is such a small group. But when we talk about self, when you have a theological discussion, a Calvinist is anybody who believes in eternal security. An Arminian is anyone who believes that you could lose your salvation. Now, that that's the way theologians would discuss it. Now, again, if you want to slur people, the way you slur them is, he's an Arminian, if he doesn't agree with the hyper-Calvinist. Now, that person is theologically ignorant, or willfully misrepresented. It's like the person who says that a liberal Democrat is a communist. Now, they have certain things in common, you know, but it is not kosher it is kosher to call the John Burns Society to fight. They have certain things in common. But by the same token, it is fair to put labels that are just extremely. And so when I talk to people, I try to be moderate in my. And that's the reason that I make it very clear that they are hyper-Calvinist. A hyper-Arminian would be somebody that believes every time that they tell some untruth that they've lost their salvation. There are other Arminians that would believe that it would take a great sin, like an adultery or something of that sort, that would cause God to withdraw his faith in God. But anybody that believes that that favor, that gift can be withdrawn, is not in. Anybody who believes in the preservation of the saints is, and again we're using theological terms, is considered in the theological terms. That is the divide. Either eternal security or what we call apostasy. But I'm not crazy about the term Calvinism. After all, Calvin was not a Baptist. He had nothing to do with that Baptist. No. Actually, he was disenfranchised. Yes, back. His writings are largely a rework of the writings of Augustine, City of God. You'll find most of the propositions that were laid out by Calvin.
But these fellows, they're very selective in their history, too. They're not nearly as wide and red as they would like for us to believe them.